Good morning. The last 2 weeks in talking about the Sabbath, I was thinking it's like the Sabbath is a gem that each of these 3 weeks, Dave and Matt and I are looking at this gem from a different perspective and trying to highlight different aspects of its beauty. I know I've really been helped by Dave and Matt's and sermons and been trying to incorporate in my life as well to better honor the Sabbath. So in one way, it's a gem, but today I want to be talking about how the Sabbath is a gift. And our family spent 16 years in China, and my perspective on gifts changed a little bit being in China. See, there's my tail and Helen. Kia's back with the youth, why don't you just... So one time, a very interesting thing happened. Helen had been to the hairdresser getting her hair cut and was having a conversation with a guy, and we were missionaries there and in this rural part of China. And she got talking, and this guy said, "Oh, so you're Chinese-American?" She said, "Yeah." And he said, "So your English is really good?" "Yeah, I grew up speaking English." And then he found out that she had two children, a son and a daughter, and he said, "Oh, your daughter's around the age of my daughter." He said, "I should bring my daughter by your house sometime so she can learn English from her." And Helen said, "Well, sure, that'd be fine. But I homeschool my kids, so just be sure to call before you come." Well, nobody homeschools in China, so I think he didn't have any idea what that meant. So a few days later, it's in the morning, we're getting ready to eat breakfast, and Helen gets a phone call, and the guy says, "I'm here," in Chinese. And she said, "Where?" He said, "Well, I'm outside your door." So Teo goes and opens the door, and immediately this guy comes in, and his daughter's with him, and she's got a gift. And immediately she runs over and gives this gift to Kia. And Kia's looking at it like, "What do I do with this?" But Helen and Teo and I, we're all looking at this guy, and we're saying, we're kind of stunned. We're like, "Well, this isn't a very convenient time for us." And Kia sees Teo and Helen, myself, how confused and frustrated, perplexed we are. And we always say Kia's the best Christian in our house. And she looks at us and she says, "It's okay, I'll play with her, it'll be fine." And so as soon as she said that, the guy said, "Okay, well, I'll be back this afternoon to pick her up," and he leaves. And you might wonder, well, why, we were missionaries there, why were we so frustrated that this guy brought his daughter in the morning to play with Kia? Well, it turns out it was 9 o'clock on Christmas morning when he knocked on the door, and Helen had just been slaving. She'd put together these cinnamon buns that, you know, we had like once a year. She made this egg casserole, sausage casserole that we have like once a year. She's gone all over to find the cheese we needed for. So we were getting ready to open presents after that. So we were just all geared up. So when this person arrived, we just were stunned. Well, what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, no idea. And in fact, I think we said, "Oh, it's Christmas morning." And he says to his daughter, "Oh, go tell Auntie Helen." He says, "Go tell her, you know, Merry Christmas." So he had no idea how Americans celebrate. In fact, many people in that rural part of China, when I talk about Christmas, say, "Oh, yeah, we celebrate Christmas. We go out dancing and drinking for Christmas." So, but then also, so that kind of, we got thinking about gifts a little bit differently. And then later, we would meet people, and we were wanting to build relationships with people. They invite us out for tea, and so we'd go and be drinking tea with them, and then they would bring out this gift and give it to me. And I'm like, "I don't even know who you are, and you're giving me a gift, what?" And I'd open it up, and it'd be something expensive. And I'd just feel very conflicted. And then a couple minutes later, they would say, "Oh, by the way, we're opening an English school this weekend, and we'd like you to be at the opening ceremony." And so I'd be like, "Well, how can I say no after you give me this really expensive thing? I'm obligated to you now." And so we would go, and this happened a number of times, and we'd go, and they would always be vague, but they would say something like, And this is the opening day where they're signing up parents to take this English class. And they would say, oh, and this is Mr. Harlan from America. He is an English teacher. We wouldn't say he's going to be teaching your kids, because I wasn't. I was just there for the opening ceremony, but it kind of led them to believe that if you sign up your kids, they'll be getting taught by this guy. So we're very conflicted. So that happens several times. So every time they give us a gift, we're like, oh, no, what's coming here? Okay, but when we talk about the Sabbath as a gift from God, it's not like that. Because God's gifts are, there's no bottom or backside to it, a downside to God's gift. You know, if we think of the gifts that God gives, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God gives us eternal life. He gives us forgiveness of sins. I mean, he gives us salvation. He saves us. Gives our life meaning. His gifts are amazing. They're pure. They're perfect. And we're going to look at the Sabbath and see, yeah, just in that same vein, the Sabbath is a pure gift from God that we should embrace. I was thinking, too, the spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, are from God. And you think of that, people have gifts of mercy, you know, the supernatural ability to show empathy and compassion and assist those that are suffering. If you've ever met someone like that has a gift of mercy, you just feel like they enter into your pain and are there to comfort you and help you. And it's amazing. And it's because it's a supernatural gift God has given them. And if you meet somebody, I had a teammate the first time I taught English in China. He is from Staten Island. And he didn't have the gift of mercy. Sometimes I'd tell him, oh, this happened today. It was horrible. And his response was, oh, it sucks to be you. It was kind of a joke. But it is beautiful when you see somebody using God's spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that he's given him. I think for me, recently, there was an issue in my life where there was a person that had said some things to me. And for years, I'd been wrestling with them because it had hurt my confidence, I spent a lot of emotional energy thinking about it. But, you know, Chris has a pastoral gift. We all know that. And as I talked with him, we talked it out, and then one day he prayed for me and gave me an insight, and I just wept in the car as we prayed. I'd never thought of it that way. And that changed it for me. I didn't spend any more. Since then, I haven't spent any emotional time thinking about that situation. I've been able to completely forgive that person and move on. And I was witnessing Chris's pastoral gift, this gift, supernatural gift from God to be able to pastor people and help them and shepherd them. So God's gifts are beautiful, and the Sabbath is one of his gifts. So I want us to look at Mark chapter 2 and Matthew 12. They're both different accounts, different perspectives on an account of Jesus and his disciples. So if you want to open your text, your Bibles, to Mark chapter 2, we'll start in verse 23. And there's a couple places where I'll add in what Matthew says about the same event that happened. So Mark chapter 2, verse 23 says, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Well, if we stop here just for a moment, in Deuteronomy 23:25, in the Old Testament says, if you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to the standing grain. So as long as you're not really harvesting, you take a few grains if you're really hungry and need a few. So what they were doing, according to the Old Testament, wasn't illegal. They picked a few of these little grains, they'd rub it together to get the outer hull off it, and then chew on these grains. But the Old Testament also says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and the harvest season, you must rest. So you're not allowed to harvest. So they were nitpicking here. And we see from Jesus' answer, he says, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God, the temple, and David ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." And what Jesus is saying here is there was no judgment on him for doing that. Even though this bread was in the holy part of the temple and only for the priests, but because they were hungry, God overlooked that. So we see from this, in general, Jesus' perspective. We talk about the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Which side does Jesus seem to fall more on from this passage so far? Spirit of the law. And that really makes sense, because what was Jesus always talking about? He talked about a man's heart. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. He said, "Guard your heart, for from it come springs of living water." So yeah, Jesus is concerned, we see here, about the heart and the spirit of the law. Also, he then said in Matthew 12 on the same account, Jesus adds, "Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." So Jesus, he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice of animals." That between the two, he'd rather people show kindness and love and mercy to one another than be wrapped up in just the whole sacrifice system. So it wasn't that he was against the sacrifice system, but his emphasis was, again, on the heart, on human kindness and action. And then he goes on to say, and this is really key here, he said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So this is an interesting statement here. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So what he's saying here is, I didn't create man so that he would run around on the Sabbath being worried about doing everything right for the Sabbath, where the focus of his attention is on the Sabbath. No, it's completely opposite. Jesus is saying, I created the Sabbath to benefit and bless man so that he could have rest, so that he could be spiritually refreshed and physically refreshed. I think in a nutshell, that's what the Sabbath is all about, is God's giving us this opportunity to be spiritually and physically refreshed in him. And that was what he meant when he said, the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus saying, I created the Sabbath. It's a gift for you. And it's not a gift that has all these obligations or strings attached, or maybe it's going to be something you don't like. No, any gift from God is going to be amazing. God's gift to us in the Sabbath is exactly what we need. And he knows, because he's our creator and he's Lord of the Sabbath. Then one last time, as the account goes on in verse 1 of Mark 3, it says, "Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking," some of them the Pharisees, "were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Now, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?'" All right? If I asked you that, is that a hard question? Which is better, to do good or to do evil? Pretty easy question, right? Which is better, to save life or to kill life? Pretty easy question, right? Not for the Pharisees, because the account says, "But they remained silent." Because they were afraid if they say, "Oh, it's good," and then he heals the man, well, then they can't trap him because they've said it's a good thing. But they can't say it's evil to heal somebody because that will seem like they're not good people. So they're stuck because they're trying to trick Jesus. And it says, what was Jesus' attitude? This Jesus that looks at men's hearts. He says he looked at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out and his hand was completely healed. But the Pharisees, they went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So we see Jesus' attitude here is the spirit of the law, the heart doing good. And we'll talk about this as we talk about how do we celebrate the Sabbath. And that's the two main questions I really want to talk about from here out is how should we celebrate, or why should we celebrate the Sabbath? And how should we celebrate it? As far as why, we've already talked about the first, I think, a very important reason is it's a gift from God specifically crafted to meet our needs. It's a gift he's giving us that's exactly what we need. I really appreciated the verse Dave and Matt both quoted, Isaiah 48, starting in verse 13. Saying that if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to rise on the heights, to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I love that. The mouth of the Lord has said this. This is God's very words. That if you'll make the Sabbath a delight and not just do your own thing, then you will find your joy in the Lord. The Sabbath is a gift. It's to bless us. It's to make us have joy and to refresh us. Why would we say no to that gift? But I know in my own life, there have been many periods of time when I didn't really honor the Lord on the Sabbath. I said no to his gift. But through this series, my prayer has been, Lord, help me to say yes and honor your Sabbath. So it's a gift to us. It gives us joy. It's a blessed day. In Exodus 20, we read, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's a blessed day. It's a day of blessing that God made holy. To be holy is to be set apart, to be different. What ways is it different? Well, it's different because we don't work on the Sabbath. And it's a special day where we get refreshment, physically and spiritually. I think too often we look at the Sabbath like many of the laws or a commandment, we think of it as a burden, and following commands are burdens and are no fun. But it's just not that way when we change our perspective and realize, no, it's just receiving this beautiful gift that God offers to us. So we should keep the Sabbath because it's a gift from God that's good for us. Secondly, too much work is bad for us. Chris sent me a link to an interesting article this week, and it was talking about 22% of the world works more than 49 hours a week. That's a huge amount. And that there's lots of evidence that working overtime makes us less productive and less healthy. They talked about there's a 61% higher rate of injuries when people are working overtime. It also talked about, they did a study and found that even if you spend an all-nighter, if you stay up all night working, that at 5 in the morning the next day they tested people and they found that their coordination and reaction time was exactly the same as people that had 0.1% alcohol in their blood, which is legally drunk in California. If you spend an all-night or work all night, you're impaired that much. So too much work is not good for us. And yet, if we think about our society, working hard, being really busy, having no time in your schedule, we often act like that's a badge of honor. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't make that appointment, that party. I can't be there. I have an important meeting I need to be at. I'm on the board of directors. And yeah. I'm sorry, I can't make that. I've got this appointment here. I'm doing some counseling. And, you know, we don't say it quite like that. But in our hearts, often that's there. We feel like our life, our identity is validated because we're busy. That, oh, I've got something to do. I'm busy, so I'm valued. But that's not the way God looks at it. His grace, his undeserved favor comes upon us when we're not doing anything. I had a class this week at a seminary on spiritual formation, how people grow spiritually. And we talked about one of the things we had to do was take 5 hours at a park just alone with God. And an interesting thing, almost everybody afterwards said, you know, during that 5 hours, I didn't do any work. And yet, I felt closer to the Lord than ever. He was so near to me. And I got it, that God loves me just for who I am. And he, like a father, he loves it when his little boy will come and just hang out with him. That's how God is to us. We don't have to do anything to win his love. We're children in his family, and he just adores us. So we don't need all that busyness, but the world often tells us we do and presses us into their mold. So we should keep the Sabbath because it's a gift from God. Too much work is bad for us. Also, the Sabbath stretches our faith. We really saw this in China. We worked with farmers of the Zhuang minority, and there were very few Christians there, and so this was the first generation of Christians. So they didn't have other Christians to look to as examples, except for us foreign missionaries, and we were just different. It's not the same as when they see their own fellow Zhuang observing the Sabbath. And so they really struggled with it, and we talked to them a lot about this. And I remember one day, one of the men, his name was Wu Shu, and he said, well, even if I took a Sabbath and one day I didn't work, he said, it wouldn't be refreshing at all, because all day I would be so worried, how am I going to get all my work done in just 6 days this week? Well, I went on to, I had a picture of my parents and my grandparents at my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. And talked about them. I said, well, my dad and mom grew up on a farm just like you. They were farmers in Indiana. And their parents were farmers. And my dad used to tell me, son, there was never an end to the work on the farm. He said, but my dad, every Sunday, we didn't work. We went to church. He said, we did one thing. We still had to get up early in the morning and milk the cows. Because if you don't, it's bad for the cows. He said, but after that, that was all the work that was allowed. And so I encouraged them. No, it is possible. Yeah, it's difficult to change, but it's worth doing because God can do it. And the picking of the manna in the desert was likened to this. This idea that every day they'd go out and pick the manna, and it was enough for that day, but it would rot by the next day. But on the sixth day, God provided twice as much, and it lasted for 2 days. And they had to trust God. I bet you the first time they did that, they were worried because they had seen, boy, after 24 hours, this manna, whoo, it rots, it's bad. So they had to use their faith, and they saw that God was faithful. Wow, he provided enough for 2 days, and he provided that it didn't spoil. And the same for us. If we'll observe the Sabbath, take that day of rest, it shows that we're saying, God, I believe you will help me get my work done this week, that I don't have to work this seventh day. It's a demonstration to God that we trust in him, and it's a way to stretch our faith. So, too much work's bad for us. The Sabbath is a gift. It stretches our faith. Also, it serves as a testimony of God's goodness to unbelievers around us. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments, they're getting ready to give them there. And in chapter 4, it says this, as far as the reasons that they should obey the Ten Commandments and the law. Listen to what it says. It says, "See, I have," this is Moses speaking, "I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Wow, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as, excuse me, as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today?'" So part of the reason for the Ten Commandments was for the sake of the nations, to see how they would say, "Wow, the nation of Israel is amazing. Did you see their laws? Their God must be so amazing." And I bet you that the Sabbath was one of them. "Do you see those people? On one day a week, they have a party. They have a celebration, and then they rest. They don't do any work. Wow, that must be amazing to be able to do that." Like the Zhuang farmers, they just sweat every day. And they often don't know what day of the week it is. They don't have a Sabbath. They have a weird system of market days. All the days that end in a 3 or a 7. Those are when you go to market. But if it wasn't for that, they would have no idea what day of the week it was. And many times they didn't. But when we trust the Lord and observe the Sabbath, it is a testimony to those around us. Wow, look at the joy that family's having, resting on the Sabbath, worshiping and enjoying the Lord. Then the last reason, and I like to put it in this order, is that we're commanded to keep the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy 5:12, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you." So sometimes we do it by, well, we're commanded to keep the Sabbath. I think we should put that last. When we really get what the Sabbath is about, when we get that, no, this is a gift that God is giving us. I don't do it just because it's commanded. Often a command, we feel, oh, there's obligation, I got to do it. No, our attitude should be, what a privilege to receive this incredible gift that God has given to me. Now, interestingly, of the Ten Commandments, there's only one of the Ten Commandments that's not explicitly repeated anywhere in the New Testament. Do you know which one that is? Anybody? The Sabbath. Now, it talks about the Sabbath, but it never repeats the command that you have to keep the Sabbath. And so some people have said, because of that, they say, well, I think keeping the Sabbath is no longer required of Christians, based on that. But that's a pretty weak argument. We see Jesus spoke about the Sabbath. He went into the synagogue and taught on the Sabbath. In the book of Acts, we see Paul and others doing the same. So Sabbath practice continued. But I would argue even more than the fact that we see it continued is, I would ask the question, okay, in Jesus' time and now today, has our society evolved and gotten so much better that people now are so balanced in their life? They know how to balance work and rest, that we don't need the Sabbath anymore. We've got it figured out. No, more than ever. Yes, we need it more than ever. Yeah, we are so out of balance in this area. But I did hear one person made an interesting observation. He said, most people really struggle with working too much, but there are some people that they don't feel they need a Sabbath because they feel pretty rested. And he said, for those people that come Sunday feel pretty rested and refreshed, he said, you probably need to observe the part about working for 6 days and resting one. You've probably been working 1 or 2 days and loafing, and that's probably a good sign when you need to be doing a little bit more work. And even in America, with a five-day work week, we all know that on Saturday, people spend a lot of time working around their home, paying bills, doing repairs, whatever. So I don't think there's many of us that are guilty of only working a few days a week. Our problem really is working too much. So that's why we should celebrate. Now let's take a look at how can we celebrate it? And I just want to keep this very practical here. And by starting, my advice would be that we should all take a 24-hour period of physical and spiritual refreshment, even if that can't be on Sunday. Some people have to work on Sundays. Like we said, Jesus is concerned with the spirit, not so much the letter of the law when it comes to the Sabbath here. But I think he's honored by, if you have to work on Sunday, then make sure you take a 24-hour period that is specifically for your spiritual and physical refreshment. I think most of the students have left, but I know in my life, when I was in college, my first 2 years, I was really busy. I was trying to be a good student, and so I always studied on Sunday. But then I was convicted that no, the Sabbath should still be honored. So I began my junior year from Saturday night at 6 p.m. till Sunday night at 6 p.m. I made a vow that I wouldn't study, and that on Sunday morning I would go to church and do some Bible study in the afternoon and make it a day to God to be physically and spiritually refreshed. And you know, those last 2 years, I got my best grades I ever got when I did that. And I believe God will honor us when we honor him and honor his word. So I encourage you to do that, to trust God that he will honor that. And then also remember, as we said, the spirit of the command is more important than the letter of it. If you come home and your front doorknob is falling off, I think God's okay if you want to fix that, whatever. Now, changing your engine on your car, that's another thing. Jesus, in that example of the scriptures we read, he healed people. He said, hey, if your animal falls in a ditch, are you going to pull it out? And the obvious answer was, well, yes, of course. Well, then it's okay to help people, to heal somebody is fine. He talked about the priest. He says, on the Sabbath, they're busy doing sacrifices. They're working. And yet God did not count that against them. He counted them innocent still. For many Christians, pastors, and lay people, Sunday's their busiest day. And so they take Mondays or Saturdays where they take a 24-hour period to rest. I think it's not just for pastors. I know some people at a church that they go to church in the morning, and then the afternoon they have home groups that go until 4 or 5 or till 6 or 7 at night. So most of the afternoon they have a meal with it. And Sunday night, they're getting ready for work the next day, and they're exhausted because they led Sunday school, and then they led this Bible study in the afternoon. So for someone like that, I think God would say, you need to take a Sabbath. You're busy. At the end of Sunday or the end of your Sabbath, if you're not spiritually or physically refreshed, then you need to change the way you're doing your Sabbath or add a Sabbath to another time. And I think when it comes to that, I think God had a reason why he didn't list all the things you could and couldn't do on a Sabbath. And I think it's because he wants us to go to him. So if you have a question about, can I do that on the Sabbath? Will that be okay? Well, it's good to maybe talk to some friends, get their input. But most importantly, we should go and tell Jesus about it. And we ought to pray and say, God, would you be honored if I observe the Sabbath this way, if I went and went to this football game, if I went and watched this on TV, Lord, how do you feel about that? Because Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, meaning I have authority over the Sabbath. I was with God when he created the world and the Sabbath, and now he just told them about healing is okay. He was telling what was lawful and what was not lawful. So he's Lord of the Sabbath. And if, as you pray to him, you feel a peace about it, then I think that's a good way to go, to ask the Lord of the Sabbath. And then thirdly, I'd say to experiment and be creative. Dave mentioned Chuck Colson. I said the two big things the church needs to learn about the Sabbath is the spirit and creativity. The spirit in that, we need the spirit of the law, what Jesus was talking about, and then creativity to try new ways. We often get in ruts. In this class that I had this week, our professor said, I want you to try different spiritual disciplines. And he said, my prayer this year, I want it to be your prayer. And my prayer is, Lord, help me to learn to love you in a new way. That's a good prayer. And when we get in a rut, often we just, you know, they say, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting the results you've been getting. It's okay to try something new. And it's okay if you try something on a Sabbath and afterwards you go, oh, that didn't work too good. Or I'm exhausted. That was more work than it was. That's okay. But you'll find some things that do work. And then the last reason, or last thing about how to celebrate for me is important to give attention to our spiritual refreshment. Normally the physical part we're pretty good at. We'll go and watch a football game, sit around the house. We're pretty good at resting, most people. Some have, if they don't do the Sabbath, it's difficult, but probably the part we think usually, well, going to church is all I need to do. But the real question should be at the end of our Sabbath, am I physically and spiritually refreshed? And if you can't say yes to both of those, then you need to make changes till you are. And I know for me, it's often I need to add more toward my spiritual refreshment. And often I found if I take a little hour in the afternoon, have a little Bible study or time of prayer, or actually kind of leads into our family. We've tried a few things lately. But with giving attention to the spiritual, there's this traditional hymn I came across this morning, the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And listen to what the word says. It says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter or a chain, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for their courts above. But this idea, he says, my heart is prone to wander. He says, bind it, Lord. And I find that to be so true. It's easy for our hearts to wander. I think that's why God made the Sabbath. He says, here's a day to come back and get refocused and to start anew, refreshed. So some of the ways, just in concluding, that we've tried to make the Sabbath more meaningful. One is I've reflected, what have been some of the best Sabbaths I've ever had? When I was a sophomore, after my sophomore year in college, I took a year off and I went to Kenya for 5 months, and then I went to Montana and visited some friends that I'd been part of a navigator training program with. But I lived in a home where the husband and wife were, or the husband was an elder at the local church, Evangelical Free Church. And they rented a room for me. And they told me, well, since you're renting our room, you're part of our family. They were just an amazing couple. And they said, and after church on Sunday, we always come back and we have a big feast here at the house. And so you're invited every Sunday. And that became my favorite day of the week because there was two of them. They had their two children that would join. One of them came from another city back on Sundays. And that left seven chairs at the table open. And so they every Sunday when we went to church, they'd say, okay, we get to invite seven people. So we'd all go around, oh, I want to invite, can I invite those two? And they say, yep. And they say, can I invite, oh, we're already filled up. But sometimes they, oh, we'll make another chair. But so it's, and especially if any visitor came, they always brought them. And so, and Gladys, the wife, she always prepared a crock pot with something the night before, and she would set the table. Now, she would still do work and some little things, but the gist of it was done the day before, so that was her way of trying to rest more on the Sabbath and enjoy the guests that she had. And we'd have this wonderful meal followed by just sitting around talking, getting to know each other. And it was really wonderful. I ended every day saying, well, I am physically and spiritually refreshed. I think, too, years ago with Church on Brady, once 4th of July was on a Sunday, and so we had a picnic, and everybody came out, and I remember we had all this great barbecue. People were sharing, oh, try my barbecue. Oh, sure, I'll be glad to. And games for the kids, games for the adults, and then a lot of great fellowship, talking with each other. They stopped and had kind of a short devotional for everybody. And I remember at the end of that day, wow, that was very physically and spiritually refreshing. You know, And some people think, well, but some people were playing soccer, they're exhausted. But it was a good exhausted, and they felt physically refreshed afterwards. So we take it to the Lord of the Sabbath, ask him whether or not it's honoring to him. When I lived in Pasadena, there was a time when I would go down on Sunday nights. There were a bunch of students at Fuller Seminary that had a worship service Sunday nights. And that was so meaningful for me. And I think of just last Sunday night, I heard that many came for the worship service here on Sunday night and were really blessed by that. Yeah, so consider making that part of your Sabbath habit or doing that regularly. One of our best recent Sabbaths was we went to our other church in Santa Ana where I was the youth pastor. And after the service, we went out to Long Beach, got on the Pacific Coast Highway, and then out to Ranches Palos Verdes. And in Ranches Palos Verdes, there's a Trader Joe's and a Starbucks, so we stopped and got some Starbucks coffee, and we picked out our favorite snacks and things from Trader Joe's, and then went out and found some benches just overlooking the ocean. And there were, you could look down the cliffs, and there were people snorkeling down below, and we just spent a couple hours just enjoying nature and the scenery and eating our lunch together and fellowshipping together. Getting out in nature, something simpler we did was one evening, we had ribs Saturday night, so we took the leftovers, put them in a container, grabbed some other drinks, and we went down to Acuna Park, just down the street from our house, and we had dinner as the sun was setting, at a picnic table, and just enjoyed nature around us. We talked about, what was the spiritual highlight of your week? So we talked about that, had a short prayer, and we all came back and said, that was a good Sabbath. So let me encourage you to experiment, try something new, find a new way to love the Lord and to honor him through the Sabbath. For these 3 weeks, God has been putting this gift of the Sabbath out for us. My prayer is that we all would begin not saying, no, Lord, that's too much hassle, but we'd begin to say, Lord, I see this is a gift you created specially for me, and I want to receive it. I want to honor you on the Sabbath because you promised to bless it, to give me joy, make it a delight for me, and to spiritually and physically refresh me through it. Don't we all want that? So would you say yes this week to the Sabbath, God's gift to you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are such a good giver of gifts. And Lord, I just confess and ask forgiveness for times when I have rejected your good gifts, not knowing what was good for me. But Lord, I today say yes to you. And I pray for all of us that we would say yes. We want what you want to give us because you're such a good Heavenly Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.